Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. Today, we have a unique episode with actually four guests. The first is going to be an inspiring story from a very young advisor who, after attending our event, went home and landed a game-changing financial planning contract worth $2,000 a month with a business owner. So here's his story, and we'll be back with two more. Well, let me first say, way to go. We're super proud of you. You are part of a group of advisors that we know took it seriously, put it into action. It happens every time we do a training. There's always someone that goes home and just makes it happen right away. We had three or four from this last group go home and within a week either charge a lot more or just charge for the first time. So how are you feeling now that that is a real thing for you?
You know, I feel good. My biggest goal is to continue to add value to client. And so I feel like I have a better way to do that, that is much more valuable. So clients are a lot more willing and happy, like you said, to pay more than the $1,000 or $1,200 or at our company, it's the $600 minimum. And I feel good about doing it because I know how much value I'm bringing to the table.
Can you tell me a couple things specific at the event that translated well to allowing you to be able to charge for a planning fee? I'm looking for the most practical things. I just took that and I did that and it worked. What are those things?
Yeah, I think quantifying my value and showing it on a whiteboard. I think those are the two things I took away that I started implementing immediately. And to be fully honest with you, I was actually pretty skeptical.
You wanted it to be true, but you still were skeptical.
Yeah, I had a process that I talked to a business coach that mostly worked in the software space that he had provided, you know, that we had built a process together, like for our meetings and stuff. And I talked to you about this over the dinner, where I've got a 5-question approach to the first call. Yeah. I show you a demo of the way that our team works and the deliverable that I'm going to give to the client. And then, you know, at the end of that meeting, I tell them, this is what the fee is going to be for the plan. And that's a different process than I have ever seen. It's a different process than I've ever been taught. And so I just assume, hey, you know, I'm closing about 55-60% of the business that I'm sitting in front of and making enough that, you know, if I can get the investments and that other stuff, you know, I'll make a decent living. But I saw the whiteboarding stuff and I thought it just might be a thing that I'll add every once in a while to certain people. Like I told you, if I see something that works, I'm more than happy to stop everything that I'm doing and just start doing the thing that works. Because if I'm not doing it as well as somebody else, then I should stop doing it the way I'm doing it and do it the way they are. And so that's pretty much what I saw. And so I went home and I completely rewrote my entire process, and the numbers have spoken for themselves. So
what do you think this makes possible for you for 2025?
I think I could be top 10 in our region in terms of planning fees. Right now, I'm top 10 on the Eastern region in planning fees. I'm about 12 or 13 nationally in terms of planning fees now. And as long as I can sustain the number of clients or the number of people coming in, I think that's a possibility for me, which wasn't even on my radar 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. You know, and I think I can help my wife be a stay-at-home mom since we have kids. So
yeah,
which is ultimately the goal.
That's awesome. It's a great goal. Tell me some more about your potential when it comes to planning fees. I don't have the survey in front of me. I do know that for the specific group of advisors that you were a part of at our event in January, that the average highest fee they thought was possible before they came to the event was around 5,000. When they left, the average was 14,000. So it's not always about charging more. It's about charging the appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think you could charge for a fee, you know, maybe by the end of the year or mid-year when you start to get more confident or get in front of different people or get more planning ideas?
I think the only thing that is limiting me right now is the time that I have available. But my goal isn't necessarily to make X amount of dollars per plan. My goal right now is to learn as fast as I can, as much as I can.
Your last company, as I understand it, was not as supportive of planning that's required to really understand a client and serve them really well. You're in a company now that does. How much more momentum and optimism do you feel being a part of a company that says, go for it? We want you to do that.
Yeah, I feel a tremendous amount of encouragement, and there's nothing that's stopping the momentum, right? There's only encouragement. They are continuing to fuel a fire. And yeah, I mean, I love it. It's actually one of the reasons why I chose this company is because I wanted to get into planning. And I was hired specifically for that purpose. And so, yep, I love it, man.
What do you want advisors to know that are like, I listen to the podcast, maybe I'll go to the event, but I don't know if it's going to work for me. I'm young, or I've never done that before, or I've been in the business a long time, and I just don't know if I'm ready to make that change. What encouragement can you give them now that you're on the other side of, hey, this is real, it'll work, it's worth the time or investment or risk?
I'm actually talking with one of my business partners right now about covering the cost of other advisors in the firm to go to your training, because I think that valuable. If you will actually pay attention, if you will try, right? I don't ever expect people to be perfect at something, especially if they're starting out. But if you will try to implement the strategy that you and Sten talk about, I don't see a way that it can fail. So I would encourage anybody that if you're a business owner, it's an investment in your business, which most of us in this industry are business owners, right? It's an investment in your business. And I don't know of another investment opportunity as a business owner that could multiply your revenue as quickly as y'all's training did, right? I multiplied my fees by 6, like literally within 12 hours, I had more than covered the cost of the training, of all the expenses that went along with travel and things like that. I mean, within 12 hours, I had more than covered the cost of it. Now it's something that hits the foundation that I'm going to start continuing to build on with your team, continue to pay dividends for the rest of my life. So I would encourage any advisor at my company, for people that want to add value to client, this is a training that has to happen, because otherwise you're going to get left in the dust, and it's going to be a pretty quick gap that's going to be created between advisors that have learned your process and advisors that haven't.
What's the fun part of this? Like, what makes it more enjoyable? I know it's, in some ways it's harder because you got to build out a plan for people and you got to implement that plan. But what about it makes your job more enjoyable? Because it is more work.
It's a little bit more work, but I see it as an opportunity to engage clients in a way that they've never been engaged before. They want to participate in it. You know, I'm telling business owners to pay their kids, and I'm, you know, I get to make people smile about their money. I get to see the change in attitude that people have with their money when they can see the effect of the ideas that I have in my head. And so, you know, it makes my job a lot more fun, right? If when the clients are having fun, I'm having a lot more fun. When they're joking and smiling, that means I'm doing my job. It makes my job easier. In the long run, it makes it much, much better. So
I just want to say again to you, we are grateful that you trusted our sales pitch to come and hang out with us. So well done.
Thank you. And again, thank you all so much for having me up there. Top notch event. Like I said, I'm really excited to join the coaching program and continue to invest in educating myself and learning best practices and how y'all would coach me to be continuing to become an elite advisor. So thank you.
In this next part of the episode, you're going to hear from a pair of advisors from the same company who, after attending our event, signed 2 new financial planning clients within a week. And now they're on track to double their financial planning goals for the year. So here's our conversation. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. When you came home from the event, and I'll have you speak first, Trevor, what did you feel this is something we could do on Monday? What was a really practical thing? We're going to go home and do that.
The most important thing that I took away was a whiteboarding approach. We've been discussing is with a lot of our plans, we weren't thoroughly quantifying the value that we are providing to these clients. So our biggest takeaways, we want to give a few tips and tricks to clients to show, hey, this is what we can say to you in the future. So when they are thinking about, hey, we're charging for this plan, they're seeing the value that we're providing before we say, hey, this is how much this plan is going to cost. So I think that was the largest takeaway for me, is just being comfortable with showing them how we're helping and quantifying that value.
Hayden, in the past, were you just sort of leaving that off? Were you giving a 1-year number? Were you not giving any number at all?
So we weren't conveying the value. We were basically showing them the plan, saying this is what most people do when they're around your age, when they're getting close to sell their business, when they're starting to save a lot more money. Like Trevor says, the real value we saw was being able to visualize the value. So what we started doing as soon as we got back was, what is that yearly tax savings that they can save on whatever strategy it may be? And multiplying that by 10, we're going to save you this amount of money over the next 10 years. And it was the exact thing that Sten went over, was we're going to save you $120,000 in the next 10 years. And that's well worth the $5,000 fee that we're going to charge you over the next 6 months.
I did not prepare you for this question, so you can pass if you need to. But can you think of a specific example? I don't need their name and social security number, but what's an example of an idea you shared with them and then you did quantify?
There's two examples I'll give you. One was just visualizing bond returns and how bond returns work. The other one that was quantifiable was QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, which was an easy one for us to just show 75 years old and you've got an IRA that's got $3.5 million in it and you're charitably inclined. You know, this is a great way for you to not have to pay taxes on those dollars. The IRS is wanting their money, and a way for us to avoid that is, let's take that RMD and let's exclude it from your income. Give that RMD straight to these charities that you want to give to. And we can do that in the next few years and get some money out of an IRA without paying taxes on any of it.
I love the way you talked about that. With charitable giving, we like to teach advisors to say, that way you're going to give more money to your thing you care about and less money to the government. Well, I'm going to ask you both sort of a dreaming question, but it's early 2025. And I think it's been 2 weeks and a day since the event, and you guys have closed two, almost three plans. What do you think is going to be the future of your practice this year? So you think you'll get larger plans? What's going to be different?
Yes, with our practice, from our $2,500 minimum, we want to bump that up to at least $3,500, depending on complexity of each plan. And also the goal for us as a practice would be, we want to start every relationship with building a financial plan for the clients. That would be our main goal, is if we get a new client, we know there's products that might need to be put in place, but we want to start by showing them why these products need to get put in place through a comprehensive plan rather than just getting them in place right there.
My kids and I help them earn money by resealing driveways. And the first time we ever did one, we did not price it well. I mean, we did 6 hours of work. I'm not kidding you. We made $30. And I was, oh, crap. And my son was so mad. I was like, dude, we just learned how to price our services better, and that we'll never do that again. So it sounds like that's where you guys are at.
Yeah. We started the year, you know, our minimum was $2,500. After the event, we bumped it up to $3,500. I'm pretty sure we're on track to get that minimum closer to five. We structure our goals with our firm quarterly and then annually. And in terms of an annual goal, before the event, you know, we were shooting for in the $100,000 range for the year for planning fees alone. And, you know, we've already reached 15% of that goal in the first 2 weeks. So we're on track to be close to double that by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're on track for. I think it's attainable, But this has had that big of an impact to where we can double our expected planning fees within a year. And it's not even that we're bringing in, you know, twice as many clients. It's more just closing a higher percentage of them and charging more for them.
How does it make your job feel different when you're looking to somebody with a client, visit with an existing client? How does planning change the way that you approach the job?
The planning we're doing now, it's so central to every decision that a client makes. If we can get them on board and go through the planning process with them and make recommendations in the six different areas of financial planning, it's a lot smoother and the conviction grows with us. Before, it was more, hey, let's cover investments, let's cover insurance, we'll get you set up with both those things. This is more, it's giving us more conviction in what we're doing because they're engaging more. And because they're paying for it, it forces them to engage in it, right? That's the biggest piece that's different is the client engagement within it. And it's leading to more in-depth conversations in those six areas, tax, all those different areas. It's adding a different layer of complexity, but we're trying to make it more simple.
For the client, it just gives them a more centralized place to go rather than just being the guy that sold you a product 20 years ago. They have a trusted advisor that is helping them with all of the areas of planning. So when they have any questions when it comes to anything regarding their financial future, they have a hub and an advisor and people to talk to on a team. That's probably the most important thing for a client is we're able to be a little bit more creative when it comes to their full financial future.
Someone's listened to this and has heard us talk about the event 37 times. And so I want you to give them one more chance to consider why they should come. What would be your advice having actually paid real money to come to something?
Bottom line is we learned how to convey value, how to have the conviction to have these conversations, how to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's very different in the beginning. Once your service model changes from, hey, we'll run you a free analysis of all your assets to, hey, we're going to be putting 24 hours of work into this thing and you're going to be paying for it and you're going to love it. And you're really going to find a lot of value in it. Just the whiteboarding alone helps explain, you know, the full value of the process. And so I would do it 10 times again. I mean, it was probably the single best workshop we've been to. And most of these things that we would go to before are more of a seminar setup. And this was a workshop. And I haven't been to very few workshops that have been this influential and impactful on our practice.
That's great to hear, man. Appreciate that.
For me, it was super eye-opening. I love when Sten talks about basically we're a professional and we deserve to get paid a good amount for the services and the brain power we're using to put into financial plans. So I think that's a huge takeaway and it's important with what we do that we get paid for it.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. And congratulations to you for going home and implementing. And I hope you're excited and optimistic about 2025. And as you said, Hayden, you would come back. Well, come on back. We're going to have a How to Charge 2.0 for those who have implemented what they've learned and are having some success. We're going to have that event this summer, partly virtual, partly in person, if people are nearby and want to come. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys at that. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Andy.
Last up, you're going to hear from an advisor who returned from our event just a few weeks ago and landed new financial planning clients right away. And the reason this is a unique part of the episode is you're going to hear about the very specific things that he felt he needed to change, that there were the difference between before and after. And I think you'll be surprised by his answers. So here's my conversation with him. Well, first of all, my friend, congratulations. Well done. You went home. And there's certain people that I go, I think they're going to go home and start doing stuff away. You were one of those people. You made it clear to me, hey, Andy, this better work. And I said, I promise it's practical. I promise you can go home on Monday and do things differently. But ultimately, you're the one who has to do the hard work. So begin with what changed between when you left here and you landed a home to where you are now starting to see some success within a few weeks of the training.
Yeah, coming to the initial training, I knew that I wanted to be better in the financial planning space. I really didn't feel the confidence that I think I should have had with some of the plans that I've sold in the past. It really built a confidence in me that I can have a process where I can justify to somebody else why I'm charging them something, and being able to whiteboard strategies, concepts, quantify, and then from there, justify my cost for a financial plan. And that's just with the first meeting. It really was an eye opener for me. You know, lucky enough, the first two people I've spoke about financial planning both have gone through with $3,500 3-month commitment plans. It's working. It's all thanks to EAM.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, you're the one I still go home and do the work, but I'm grateful that we were able to be part of the process. I want to point out those specific numbers of $3,500. The group that you are part of that attended that event, of the 25 or so advisors that we had here, we do the surveying because we want to get real data on this. And the average minimum planning fee, which is like, I will do planning at this number. If someone says, yes, I will do it for that amount, was something like $1,700 or $1,500. And when we asked people as they left, what is your new minimum? It was around $4,000. And so that idea of what I do is worth this much. You know, I mean, pick whatever car company you want, but you can't go into BMW and say, I want a $30,000 BMW. And they're like, okay, well, we don't sell those here. You can go get a used one. And then there's probably a good $30,000 car, but we don't sell them. And so it's deciding this is how much what I do is worth, because you were doing planning before.
Absolutely. And they were around that average market. My first plan I ever did was for $800. The initial plan was just debt management. So I would cover his bills. It was a ton of work. And in hindsight, it just didn't justify the fees. Now it's really understanding the value. And there's a cost to doing my business too. Because one of the things I've realized after coming into this, I'm going to start leveraging the paraplanners that I get through my broker dealer. And that comes at a cost. So it's one thing to have, you know, James, and I have my own, you know, one brain, two eyes and two ears. But if I can get the backing of some of the top CFPs that all they do is just plan input, that's also saving my time, but that comes at a cost. So my clients are not only getting access to me, they're getting access to some of the best CFPs in the industry. And attorneys, I'm not afraid to tell them what my cost and my value is, because I know I'm going to bring it up. As well as the relationships I have with my idea partners, it's a premium. I'm more confident to have these conversations with certain people. That was one of the biggest shifts so far.
Tell me more about the confidence you have around what are you actually selling? I think one of the reasons that people hesitate to really go into it is they're like, I don't really know what's the difference between what I'm doing now and what I would be doing if I'm doing planning. And so when I say to you, you're selling planning, and you go, yeah, absolutely, I am. What are the core parts of that that you feel justify the cost? Why do you feel better now about the fee to where it has gone up? Maybe triple, or maybe 2.5. But also having the confidence, yeah, I could do a $10,000 plan because there's opportunities out there. What is it that shifted in you where you go, that is valuable?
This is something that I am actively working on with my coaching, because I also signed on for coaching. I've committed to 1 year at least of coaching with EAN. It really comes down to a process. All the tools that I've received from EAN, whether it be plan score or different concepts that I have, really helped me hone down and create a process. Being able to target all six areas in a person's financial picture and being able to articulate in every area, listen, where are they currently with my recommendations? Where could they be? And creating a legible plan that they can actually see it and something that they can actively work on, like a roadmap to your life. And that's how I present it. In areas that you might be thinking about. And also I'll bring up areas that you probably never thought about a day in your life. So more of a holistic approach. I feel really good with the planning side of things.
And last question I have, and let's just be frank. If you're only paid to help with two of those areas, you're probably not going to give a whole lot of attention to the other four areas. You might touch on them, but you're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. If the gardener comes to your house, they're not going to be like, oh, by the way, can I install some new plumbing? That's not what they're paid to do. So there's something valid to that. That's one of the reasons that people just don't do planning, is I don't get paid for it. Why would I do it? Okay. So for you, When you've had these conversations with people about all the areas, what is it about all the areas that's better than just some of the areas? For you as a business owner, are you more excited that you can talk about all six, or is it a burden and you're worried about it? Because it is more work.
For me, it ties in with my belief system and why I got into this industry. I was a product as a child of my father catching a stroke at 38 and losing everything. And so as an adult, I was the person working and taking care of my father because he had nothing in place. I always like to think if someone had this conversation with him, things would have panned out really a lot different. So for me, it's joy to have these conversations. So I personally prefer to take the more holistic financial planning route because people will uncover it. I give people the option as well as I can be as transactionary as the next person, right? I don't want to force you into something or having conversations you don't want to have or you're uncomfortable with. For me, it's always felt close to home to have these open conversations with
people. And I appreciate that. And I know your heart. We talked about that before you even come into the event about, hey, Andy, this is what I want to do as kind of advisor I am. Are you going to help me do that or not? And I want to encourage you who are listening that James's experience, it's universal in that people who come to our event and people really start to implement planning. How many years have you been in the business?
Five years.
We had advisors go home and have been in the business for 30 years. Others have been for a year or two. And everybody wants to like their work more. You do it a lot of hours. And so I'm hearing an excitement in you. And part of that is you got paid for it. But the other part is I'm excited to work with people on more than just a transaction. And yes, it is a transaction. They're paying for the planning, but it's more holistic. And I know that's sometimes sort of a foo-foo word, but it does mean something on a practical level. And the great news is you can be holistic and also get paid for it. So if anyone is listening to this and they're skeptical, I want to give you a chance to say, hey, I had some skepticism too. Yeah. What do you think people are skeptical of? And then how do you think we could address that or did address that?
The first hurdle is the cost. I'm guilty for that. Honest to God, it was the best money I've ever spent when it came to the financial planning space. You're definitely going to get your value back that you've spent just to be able to think, and this is going to sound cliche, like an elite advisor, just something so simple about being able to educate by whiteboarding and something so simple that we don't think about. That's its own value. Being able to see a process comes with its own value. Do I invest in myself? Then beyond that, it's imposter syndrome. Right? I'm in a room with people, as you mentioned, that's been doing this for 30 years. Look, you sit with Sten, and Sten to me is probably one of the best when it comes to planning. How do I become him? Then it becomes knowledge base. I don't know enough about these areas, financial planning. So there's a lot of things, but again, I keep next to my desk elite meeting reminders. I keep the scale 1 to 10, how to continue thinking like as an elite advisor, just being able to realize that you want to accomplish something and know it's going to take, 20 reiterations of that same thought, of the same practice. You will get to where you want to. I feel like it's a good mindset. Don't come into this being afraid that you can't charge for something because you don't know enough, or that the cost of this is too much, or that you're not as good as the next, advisors. You will be there. They got there for some reason. Sten wasn't always Sten. Some of these top advisors weren't always who they were. They all started from somewhere, but you have to associate yourself with the best, be trained by the best to become better and eventually, hopefully, one of the elite.
It's great. And I do want to remind folks, like, we have a guarantee on our event, which is if you go home and you implement, if James went home and had three meetings for people and they didn't buy anything, we're going to get on the phone and we're going to figure out what's going on, because those who go home and implement, it works. If you go home and you do nothing, there's no refund. The great news is, a vast, vast majority of the time when you go home, it does work. Sometimes there's some tweaks, but it is a mindset. There's some practical things. And I appreciate your time speaking to the skepticism, because I think that's fair and we want to address those things. I think it's good to think about how you spend your money. I think it's good to be humble and don't think that you have it all figured out. But how are you going to get better unless you get in the room? And so we want to help you get in the room. And I hope people hear through our podcast and videos or other trainings. So we're never going to make anybody feel dumb or behind. You're not dumb and you're not going to be behind for very long, because we're going to get you trained up. Again, congratulations to you for how you implemented Thanks for making us look good by going home and doing the work. Of course, we look forward to continue to working with you through the coaching program, but we're real proud of you. And I just appreciate your time today to share with other advisors from someone who did pay the money that it was worth the time and effort. So blessings to you and keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy. Have a blessed week. Please, anytime you need, I'm here for you.
Well, and there you have it. If you want to see results like these, then you need to attend our next planning event, How to Charge Live, in April of 2025. If you want to get your tickets or if you have questions about the event, go to howtochargelive.com. That's howtochargelive.com. And either get your tickets there or set an appointment to speak with me if you have any questions. And we are doing discounts if more than one person comes from your office. So look forward to talking to you and also seeing you in April at our event. As always, thanks for listening to the show.
Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity or you know somebody that would be potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.